Mark, we talked about this via email, text messages. What your players have done is inspiring, and I don't think it's got enough national pub. You fed nearly 12,000 frontline responders and medical people in Dallas Fort Worth, and also your players have bought the meals from local restaurants. When you saw that number, I mean, what went through your mind? How does that make you feel knowing that?
I mean, I'm proud of our organization, proud of our guys, but that's just the beginning. I mean, we literally had a meeting yesterday. And, you know, when you have scenarios like this, there's always the big push at the beginning where everybody wants to contribute and help. But then as things kind of drag on, then those, you know, the contributions and the support kind of tails off. And so in our meeting yesterday, I was real clear, this is where we have to step it up. This is where we have to actually do more. And, you know, that was part of our original plan, help where we could, but kind of keep things rolling as if and when this dragged on. And so you're going to see even more coming from the Mavs organization, the Mavs Foundation.
Mark, you used a great word called beginning, because it seems that all of us have to use that word, not just in meetings like you had with your staff, but also each and every day. What has it been like for you as not only a team owner, but also an industry leader, having a new beginning day by day with all this going on?
I mean, just, you know, as a country, we're resilient, we're innovative, and you just got to believe in who we are as American people. And you know, we can help. You know, we're trying to help, and where we can create new ways to do things or better ways to do things, and that's what we're going to try to do. And that's just not on the basketball side. That's across all my businesses and what I try to do. And, you know, because we're a country of entrepreneurs. That's what makes this country different than every other country in the world. And so as things change, and they certainly have changed more than we ever dreamed or nightmared about, then we have to come up with new ways to do things. And, you know, that's what we're going to continue to try to do. And that's why I'm confident in this country, because we do it better than anybody.
Mark, I've told you this before, and I'll say it again now, man, publicly again. I wish you'd run for president. I mean, the stance you've taken through this pandemic, whether it's on Twitter calling out, whether it's politicians or demanding more from, you know, just individuals, it's been inspiring. And watching what your team has done, you know, donating all these meals and supporting local businesses and restaurants here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where I live also, for people who don't know, it is inspiring. Why do you feel the need? And where does it come from to do what you're doing on a day-in, day-out basis?
Look, I've always considered myself to be the luckiest guy in the world. And, you know, I just never want to take anything for granted. And where I'm able to contribute, I want to try to help. There's other people a lot smarter that have done a lot more than I have. And, you know, I want to support them. But, you know, this is just a unique set of circumstances. And you know, just – and I may have a higher profile and a bigger platform, but I'm not doing anything any differently than, you know, tens of millions of other Americans are. And it's just that I can be a little bit louder about it. So I'm just trying to do what I can do to help, and trying to encourage others to help. And, you know, this is, you know, we're all in this together. One of my friends told me, she goes, you know what, unless we're all heroes, nobody can be a hero. And that's so true, because we all have to come together, because it's, you know, it's worse than we ever expected. And it really takes all of us standing up and trying to help each other.
Mark Cuban, Dallas Mavericks owner, and Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Who's the friend that told you that?
I'm not going to give her name. She would kill me.
It's a great line.
Yeah, she's in the military, and so she comes up with lines like that all the time. And, you know, I'm like, do you want me to give you credit? She's like, no, you realize I carry a gun. And so it kind of ended at that.
So it's one of those situations that if you tell it, I'm going to have to kill you. That's basically what she told you, right,
pretty
Mark?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Mark Cuban, Mavericks owner, here with us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. As Mavericks, his players have donated over 12,000 meals to frontline responders, medical people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, also supporting local restaurants. And, you know, as we mentioned, that is beyond inspiring. And when you've got guys that, like Luka is back home in Slovenia, right?
I mean, for
him to be doing stuff like this. And
oh, Luka's all in. Luka, KP, I mean, all of our guys, Justin, Seth, you know, Timmy. No one said no, or no one turned their back. And, you know, Maxi, everybody is contributed, not just financially, but, you know, now with everybody caught at home, one of the easiest things for players, for any of us to do, and I'm sure you guys have gotten it as well, you know, getting requests for videos for birthdays and for graduations that didn't take place and, you know, get wells. And so, you know, those are the little things that when you can do stuff one-on-one for just one individual just to make their day, you know, or for a family to make their day, you know, our guys are just doing that continuously, and that's cool. And then, look, it doesn't take much of their time, so it's not a big intrusion or interruption, but just the fact that they do it is great, whether it's Luca, KP, or anybody.
Getting well is something that a lot of us want to have happen for this country in terms of health, and even with the reopening of the practice facility on Friday, you said about that, yeah, it's not going to happen. I just don't think the risk is worth the reward. How many other people or owners in the NBA have you talked to that either feel the same way you do or don't feel the same way you do?
I don't know. I haven't really talked to any of the other owners. I talked to our training staff, talked to coach and everything, and we'll have another meeting today. And just, look, the thing about testing, it's to tell you who has been affected so you can just tell them to go home, you know, and just to stay away from everybody so no one else gets sick. But you can't really that testing just gives you one point in time. It's not something, okay, I'm tested, I'm negative, so I'm good for 6 weeks. It doesn't work like that. And so because practice is a transient thing, you come in, you practice forever long, and then you go back, and, yeah, guys quarantine, but, you know, you just don't know who they're going to run into just by chance, right, or what services they're going to touch and may get, you know, sick. And or they may get sick or be sick and not show symptoms. And so there's just no way that we can control that. Now, contrast that to some of the things that all sports leagues are looking at, the Hotel California approach where you go into a quarantine environment and you never leave, right? You know, you check in and you never leave. And I'm fine with that, but we can't Hotel California all of our guys.
By the way, great song, and now, yeah, The Shining is also in my head, right? When,
yeah, right?
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah, I can hear it now. Here's Luca.
On that note, man, I mean, I can't imagine the pressure that some of you are under. And I know, knowing you all these years, you know, you pressure as, hey, man, I'll turn coal into a diamond. But how much do you feel as a leader in the NBA and in all leagues for that matter, the pressure to have sports back in our society? Because that's our dial out. That's the way we get away from problems.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure's certainly there, but I mean, you got to put all this in perspective. I mean, there are 33 million people that have lost their jobs, right? And so it's not so much pressure, you know, like everybody, you know, who's going through that feels, but there is a pressure because we want to give them some relief. Like, to your point, we need sports. We need something to yell at, to scream at, to cheer for, to get excited about, to, you know, call our friends, to watch together, you know, to yell at the TV. We need that badly right now. And so we've got, you know, we want to do it. I think there's a moral imperative for us to do it at the NBA, particularly since we were the league that shut down everything. But we've got to be safe because there's just no way we can cut corners, and we've got to make sure that we have all the pieces together. And look, I'm an optimist, and, you know, like I said earlier, I'm a big believer in American exceptionalism, and I'm confident that our scientists will find vaccines. I just don't know when. And, you know, even before we have a vaccine, if we can do all the appropriate protocols and sanitization and sterilization and all the things that you need for a Hotel California approach, you know, I know that if the league can make that happen, we will make that happen.
Mark Cuban, Dallas Mavericks owner, and Freddie and Simmons on ESPN Radio. What is the one thing that you learned about yourself during this whole thing, Mark, that you didn't know about yourself before?
Oh, my goodness. That I had far less control over my children than I thought.
I'm with you. 1,000,000%.
You know, 13 and 16-year-old daughters? Yeah. You know, I had about 2 weeks, maybe 10 days of control, and then it was like, okay, I'm going to my room. Leave me alone.
I got a 14-year-old and 11-year-old, Cubes. I'm with you, man.
You know, right? You know.
1,000,000%, man.
No control. The only chance I get is like dinner and when we're doing TikTok videos. That's the only chance I get to hang out with them. And so I like beg for more TikTok videos.
I'm not even going close to TikTok. I'm not on it. No.
And it wouldn't end well for you.
It would not be good at all. Hey, you're also on the White House advisory board on the resumption of sports leagues in America. What have those discussions been like?
You know, there's only been one, and so that was really brief and kind of ceremonial with everybody saying we want to get back to play. But I'll give the White House and the administration credit. They assigned somebody to me. I guess I don't know about anybody else, but I guess they figured I'd be a big mouth. seriously, and they were right. And, you know, to take all my ideas and feedback and everything. Now, they haven't put any into operation yet, but at least they've listened and they've given me feedback. And it's been mostly things for small businesses. You know, what are some of the ways that we can improve the PPP program? What are different ways to deal with the forgiveness and, you know, different ways for helping small businesses get open in terms of the protocols that need to be followed? So there's a variety of things that they've been responsive on but just haven't taken any steps on. So we'll see what happens.
What's the best return scenario that you have heard so far for the NBA?
I mean, just basically the Hotel California approach. You know, we get people in and, you know, get them into a place that we know that we can keep safe. Because, look, we all are keeping our homes safe, right? I mean, we all feel completely confident in our own personal homes, you know, and some are in group homes and, you know, different environments. And even some hotels are open and have been able to keep people safe. And so if we can take the lessons there and with new science, you know, as it gets better and better and therapies get better, and, you know, the different protocols for keeping, you know, a big resort that has thousands of rooms clean and put together, then we can start bringing in people and preparing to hopefully play games. Now, I'm not making any, you know, I'm not saying we're doing that. It's just something that I think is the best case scenario.
You know, the players are on a call tomorrow. What are you expecting to hear from that joint player, you know, conference call tomorrow?
I have no idea, honestly. You know, I guess getting feedback in terms of what players would be confident in, you know, because that's what this is all about. Who do we trust with our lives? Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a player, who do you trust with your life? If you're, you know, a coach or a trainer or anybody for that matter that's, you know, essential personnel and getting something back together, do you trust the hotel that we're going to stay at to keep everything safe and the technology that they're using, the protocols they're using, you know, who do you trust with your life? And that's a big question to ask somebody. But, you know, we all make decisions like that every day. Do you stay in? Do you go out? What do you do? Where do you go for your groceries? All these things. How do you do it?
Right.
Who do you trust?
You know, that's a great question. I trust my family, obviously. I do trust the NBA, and I trust science, I guess, more than anything else. You know, that's where I spend a lot of my time learning, reading, you know, medical this and science that, and trying to get a better understanding, a better handle on what's going on. There are ways to keep surfaces clean. There are ways to keep, you know, areas, larger areas clean. There are ways to quarantine. And so, you know, it's just a matter of making sure. The big question, I guess, and who do I trust to do this? How can we pull all these disparate pieces together to create an environment where we do trust people with our lives and we do trust that it'll be safe? And I do trust that the NBA will do it the right way. So, you know, effectively, would I go to, you know, if we created a Hotel California environment and if I was allowed in, would I go? Absolutely. Would I let my kids go? Yeah, I would. But there'd be a lot of scrutiny involved before I gave that final yes.
Why do you think a lot of people don't have the trust in science that they're supposed to, especially with something like this?
You know, there's a lot of times where you just don't feel like you have control of your life and you want answers. And it's not just for this. It's just we all face it at various components of our life. Why is this happening? I don't understand it. And when you don't understand and you look for answers, everybody goes in different directions. And so, you know, that's part of it. And then, you know, I just think where we get our information has become so polluted in so many respects that we look at a video on YouTube and it has glimmers of factual information. And we think because, you know, these six things ring true or are true, then the other 57 things that they're telling us must be true. And that's just, you know, that's not critical thinking, but you can't – look, people just want to live their lives. You can't expect them to be scientists that evaluate every piece of data that they get. And, you know, and you just want to get through the day. And so it, some people just won't trust science. It's just unfortunate, but it's just a reality.
Hey, Cubes, what your players have done, feeding over 12,000 meals to frontline responders, you know, medical people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I live, where you live. I mean, it is inspiring for people just tuning in. Yeah, his players have done that, and they continue to do it. And, oh, by the way, speaking of players, Last Dance. I mean.
Oh, yeah, man. Crazy.
Go. I mean, what were your thoughts so far?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it, man. I mean, you know, obviously we're all big MJ fans, and I've known him now for a long time and have gotten to be good friends with him. And it's just crazy to see. Yeah, you knew about that side of him, but you didn't really know until you saw it on video and you heard it in his own words and his teammates' own words. So it's been crazy. I love it.
How much is that in Luka right now?
Would you ever do that with your team?
Yeah, I was just saying.
No, it's not Luka. I mean, kids are different today. So much different. I mean, you know, it's like there's those scenes where he walks out and there's 50 cameras. You know, now everybody's got a brand and they've got a platform to communicate with social media. And it's just completely different. You know, Dennis Rodman then, I mean, let me just tell you, when Dennis Rodman was with the Mavs, I learned so much about PR and marketing and how the media works, probably more from him than anybody, and just really how he dealt with the media. But at the same time, it'd be completely different today because everybody's got their own platform. Kids coming into the league today like Luka, you know, they have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers before they even get to the NBA. And so they deal with issues differently than what happened in the 80s and 90s. And so Michael Jordan in a social media environment would be crazy, but watching The Last Dance is even crazier.
Cubes, man, again, bravo to your players for what they're doing in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they continue
to
do it, man. That's you know, beyond well done. Thanks for your time, as always, and we'll catch up soon, hopefully, over a beverage without
social
distancing.
Guys. All right, stay safe. Appreciate it, guys.